Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. We've got Don here.
I'm here.
Ava,
I'm
here.
Hello.
And me, I'm Eric. I'm here. And we are going to have a fantastic show today. We have got a great guest, Brian Robison, former of the Minnesota Vikings. He's going to come on and talk a little bit about his tournament fishing experience, because I talked to him a while back when we were hanging out at the Mall of America one time, and he said he was going to get into tournament fishing. I said, okay, that's great. So he's into that. And he has the also what's called the Reel 'Em In Foundation. So we're going to a little bit about that as well. And we're going to find out all about that when we come back for more Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. Guys, we got a cool show. I'm pretty excited.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's cool. We're in the football season.
Yeah, temperature has dropped.
Got a former football player coming on board.
Okay.
And a friend of mine that was, when I first met Brian, it was pretty funny at the Mall of America. He saw my boat was camouflaged at the time with the Lost Camo, right. Mountain Dew Lost Camo can kind of thing. And he thought that was the coolest thing. He said, oh, that's so awesome. Can I get your phone number? He says to me. Sure. So, yeah, pretty cool deal. And a super nice guy. He actually went and bought a bunch of football stuff of his own, paid his own money to go buy it at the store in the Mall of America to have people come in to the booth there and give it away. That was pretty cool. So, good guy. Super guy. Talk about fishing. Talk about the Reel 'Em In Foundation. That'll be coming up on the second segment of the show. We'll be coming about that. I assume, Don.
Yes.
By the time many people are listening to this, they're going to be where?
Well, they should be out in their stands or walking through the woods.
Possibly.
Looking for Mr. Big Rack, I'm guessing.
Could be. Or they could maybe, I don't know if they can get it earlier or not. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Who knows? Download? Possible. But I guess one of the important things when you're looking at deer hunting, whether it's this weekend or any weekend, we're looking at some warmer than average temperatures at that point. It's going to be 65 on Sunday. So, and that's in Red Wing. Granted, it may further north, maybe a bit tempered more so, not quite. But if it's 60, 55, 60 for a high, you're not looking at, you know, high 40s for an overnight. And, you know, that makes for a warm walk heading out in the morning. And, you know, one of the big things I think is everybody talks about scent. When you're making sure you don't have the scent, you wash your clothes, you do all that. Well, it's not going to help when you're walking out to your stand and you're working up a sweat, and then you sit in your stand and you're sweating like a, anyway, whatever, stuck pig, whatever. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so it ends up being dress appropriately to walk in, but walk at a pace where you're also not going to overheat. And I think that's one of the biggest things. So many people are anxious to get into their stands, and all of a sudden it's like they're walking 400 miles an hour. So then they work up a sweat. And also, if you're walking in the dark, we all know when the deer are bedded down, if you're walking 400 miles an hour through the woods, odds are you're probably going to be making a fair amount of noise. If you take your time, you don't work up a sweat. You take your time, you're not making as much noise. You're letting the woods stay relatively quiet. You're not necessarily spooking animals at the same time. Allow yourself the time to get into a stand. Be comfortable.
Yeah, but early morning, it's going to be a lower temperature. You know, it's going to be cool. So I, you know, recommend opening up your jackets and letting them breathe so that you don't get overheated by the time you get there.
Well, and it's going to be 45 probably overnight lows. I looked at that earlier. So, I mean, we're looking at walking out and it's that temperature. That's warm.
Yeah. It'll be nice sitting in the stand.
Put a light jacket, just a very light jacket or something similar on, just so you're not going to make sure you're overheated. And really what that does is those things will equal good success. And you got to set yourself up to success. It's just like fishing. If you do all the right things, you're going to be more successful. If you get the right line, the right size hooks, all the important colors and everything else, you're going to set yourself up. But as soon as you start missing a couple key things here and here and here and here, odds of being successful drop off dramatically. So
right.
Bait, whatever it might be. So just also, as we always have said, be careful out there. Wear your strap in the stand. Always make sure that you carry that weapon appropriately and load it up and down as far as into the stand with a separate rope. Do not try and carry it up while you're climbing. So just be aware of the safety factors that can make your day much better.
And good luck.
Out in the woods, exactly. Make it happen. I think this story is pretty funny. Don, son convinces father not to eat Pennsylvania's new state record walleye, potential new state record walleye. The individual, he was elated with a 27-inch, 9-pound walleye until it was displaced just hours later for the fish almost twice that size. If accepted by the state, it will become the new Pennsylvania state record for species, edging out the standing record for 4 decades by nearly 0.5 pound. They hooked this on a walleye on a creek chub, minnow, in the evening. Fought it for about 20 minutes. Used 6-pound test line, which is for an 18-pound fish.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty solid. And very supple noodle rod. Well, no wonder. That's probably the reason. His son was with this gentleman, and he netted the heavy walleye. When the net's handle broke, the father-son team and them, they were able to muscle the fish to shore where they weighed it. Now, they were shore fishing.
Right.
Bottomed out an old spring scale they had with them, and they kept the fish alive in the homemade bait tank. And when they researched state record, realized it was a potential record, and it was going to replace it. They got the walleye to a certified grocery store scale, 18 pounds, 0.14 ounces, and that current record is 17 pounds, 9 ounces. Notified the Fish and Boat Commission that they had confirmed the walleye, and right now it does beat the record. They just make sure the paperwork's filled out correctly. Father wanted to clean and eat the big walleye right away, but his son stopped him so the fish could actually be measured and weighed. He almost filleted it, but I made him wait until we checked the books. Sure enough, he put the knife down. Will be mounted by a taxidermist, hoping for the replica mount. It should be, they could still enjoy the walleye feast, so they are going to eat that fish.
Oh, my goodness.
But apparently by that time, I think it was probably past the point of no return, as the saying goes.
Well, right, they're not going to keep it alive. But
No, so that's that was a bit of a problem.
That's a big fish.
Yeah,
got a picture
exactly,
right here.
Exactly. One quick story we've got. The DNR will require testing for chronic wasting disease, and that's going to be for the opener. That's going to be in for November 6th and 7th, the opening weekend of A and B deer seasons. Any harvested in any of the DNR CWD zones must be tested. Statewide A season is November 6th, 7th, while the Southwest only B is November 20th and 21st. We'll have a link on our website to get to that, and really important to make sure you do that. So check that out. This is the first time it's actually been required to test in those zones. So be aware of where you're hunting and if you need to have that checked out. Well, stay tuned. Coming back, we are going to have, that's right, Brian Robison. We're going to talk a little Vikings and a little bit of fishing right when we come back. Welcome back, everybody. And we always like to have you guys check out our website at thevalleyoutdoors.com. And, of course, Facebook, right, Don?
That's right.
We got a whole bunch of new stuff on there. You can check it out. All the links that you would need to have in anything outdoors, the interactive national map, so you can see anything connecting to a DNR, and seasonal activities, you can figure that out. And speaking of seasonal activities, now is the season for football. But it's always a season for fishing, and our next guest is no stranger to either one. 11 seasons in the NFL, 173 games, 289 tackles, 60 sacks, and a touchdown. But more importantly, he's catching big bass. What do you think about that, Brian?
Yeah, man. I mean, just trying to get out there and catch a few bass, but right now I'm in my shop organizing tackle.
You know, when you first called you before we got on air, I had to laugh because Yeah, that's an addicted person. That's a person that's so involved in it, they have to like be like, okay, I need to have my plastics here. I need my Ned rigs here. Oh, wait, I combined my watermelon and my green pumpkin. I can't do that. I need another box to put those in. Am I wrong or am I wrong?
No, it's funny because it seems like every I don't know, maybe 2 months, I think I found a new way of doing it. And a lot of times it comes after literally looking at my tackle, just staring at it for about 2 hours before I actually get to work and figure out what I want to do. But, every time I've done it, I've found a way to dwindle down tackle. And I think in a lot of ways it helps me fish more efficiently because I'm not sitting here thinking, well, I've got all this stuff. I've got to try it all. You know, I got to roll with what I got.
Well, so you got into the tournament fishing. I know you and I had talked when you were at the Rotunda at the Mall of America, and you were still playing football, and you're looking at it going, man, when I'm done, I want to be tournament fishing. And we talked for a long time about that, and you fully immersed yourself in it. What's your opinion now? What do you think of the tournament fishing compared to when you started?
Well, I did a lot better when I started, I can tell you that much. No, I mean, for me, dude, it's about the competitive nature. It's about being around the guys. I still enjoy it. I probably enjoy it more now than even when I first started. This year, tournament year-wise, as far as finishes, was probably the worst I've had. I mean, it was just it was a nightmare of a season for me. But at the end of the day, I mean, it was a success story as well because I learned something from every single tournament I did. And I threw myself in the fire. I mean, as soon as I retired, dude, I started fishing some of the FLW stuff, and then I turn around and I throw myself in the Bassmaster Opens this year, and that's no easy feat. You know, that's not local lakes that you're fishing on. You're fishing against some hammers, and I got my teeth kicked in this year, but I got better every tournament, and I learned something from every single tournament. So I still consider it a success, and so that's why I'm in here doing tackle now. I'm kind of hungry, and I want to get things organized and start getting on the water more. I actually had to talk with my wife. I said, hey, listen, you know, I'm not trying to be a pro at this, but I'm tired of getting the crap kicked out of me, so I need to be on the water more. So we're gonna make a go at it, man.
So really, when you look at some people that don't fish tournaments may not understand it, or people that don't they're not competitive by nature may not get it. But when you go out there and you're thinking you're going to do okay, and you come back in and you look at the weights coming in, I've had it happen to me when I was, you know, really learning early on. That's one of those things that, like, what in the world was I thinking? I'm so off base, I don't even know what in the world happened. Same thing?
So you can be humble?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's been some times that, I mean, like, for example, Pickwick this year. I went to Pickwick. In all three of these fisheries, two of the fisheries that I went to this year for the Opens, I had never been, like, in the general area. So Pickwick was a learning experience for me just because in years past, river system-type places have been my kryptonite. It doesn't matter where I go. It just seems like if I'm on anything outside the Mississippi River in Minnesota, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. So we went down there this year, and I actually got on some pretty decent fish. I thought I was going to do really well in the tournament, and I showed up at weigh-in and just absolutely got annihilated. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, dude, I'm fishing around like some good hammers and they're weighing in, you know, 18 pounds and 14 pounds. And I'm over here like, I only got two fish. Like, what is going on? And I come find out they're doing the same exact stuff I am. But the problem was they got there first. I'm fishing behind them. And then day two, you know, I'm just like, well, I got to swing for the fences and I just go throw a swim bait all day. But it was a learning experience for me because it was like, okay, you know, that type of stuff, I was doing the right thing. I just didn't catch the right fish. And that was hard for me to handle for a while because I kept beating myself up over it. And finally, Jacob Prosnick, who was one of the guys that did really well that I was fishing around, he told me, he's like, dude, you were doing the right deal. He's like, you were doing nothing wrong. He said, the problem was, like, by the time you got in there, I had already went down one stretch. Andrew Upshaw had already went down the other stretch, so you were left with nothing.
So, you don't want to fish behind those guys because they will leave absolutely nothing behind.
Yeah, they're going to pick it apart. They're going to pick it apart. And then, you know, Lewis Smith was kind of the same way. I learned a lot about pressure on a lake. I learned a lot about deep, clear water, spotted bass. I learned a lot on that lake as well. That was a very, very tough, grinding tournament for me. And it seemed like every day was a different day. So, you know, I definitely learned a lot from that tournament. And that's what you got to do, you know.
Yep.
Sometimes, like, Darryl Gleason told me the best he could tell you. You got to embrace the suck. And at the end of the day, like, there's going to be some tournaments you're going to get your teeth kicked in, you're going to suck at, and at the end of the day, it's about the learning experience, and it makes winning so much sweeter.
It does. And, you know, when I do fishing seminars and that, it's talking about people that are looking at some early competitive fishing, and the only goal you can have, and it fits in with your scenario and verbiage, is to suck less. If you can suck less at every tournament, you got it. But it's also it's understanding that you take that learning curve, because those drives home are horrible. I think you know what I'm talking about. When you get your teeth kicked in and you're driving home after you just got that done, those 8, 9, 10-hour drives are absolutely horrible, because you have to replay everything that went on, and it's kind of like your tail between your legs coming back, trying to go, all right, we got to charge up and go at it again. Or even one day to the next when you find that out, and you don't have anything that you're going to be able to go do that's going to change that outcome. So those are
right.
Those are big things. So tournament side of it, you're at it, you're 100%, you're all over it. So recently in the news, there was it was on SportsCenter, I think, there was a rating of sack dances, and I was really disappointed. They hammered you on the sack dance thing, and I was wondering what you were saying to yourself when you saw that, or somebody pointed it out to you that they were hammering you on your sack dance. What was going through your mind?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, the first thing that went through my mind was I was listening to what they were saying, and first thing that went through my mind was, well, obviously I don't have a clue about fishing, so maybe they should stick to talking about football. You know, especially when I'm basically like flipping a little jig, you know, that's my sack dance for that one, and setting the hook. And he said, yeah, catch him on that topwater, big guy. Well, I don't, obviously he's never thrown topwater. So,
you discounted the comments immediately.
Yeah. And then my guy, Randy Moss, man, he didn't even take up for me. I mean, what's up with that? Fellow Viking, fellow fisherman, and he didn't even take up for me. So I was a little disappointed in that as well. No, it's all good fun, man. Like I said in my video, you know, hey, any publicity is good publicity. So at least they remember me for something, right?
Well, and if people don't remember it, look up Brian Robinson's sack dance. It is you did a couple different ones. You had a couple that you were overhand cast. You had a couple you were flipping. I made sure I did my research. So yeah, they were all good. Hook sets were Ike and Ellie like. So I got to hand it to you there. That was awesome. And, you know, at the end of it, the release into the live well got eliminated, but it was close enough just to say, hey, we're throwing it back. So I like the change up on that aspect. So you get a 10 from me. I'm a fishing guy, so that's the way that works.
Well, it's funny because most of the people I talk to, they are like, dude, that's like top three sack dances ever, or that's my favorite sack dance ever. So, you know, like I said, I mean, you're probably talking about fishing guys that know what's going on versus ESPN guys that need six football.
Exactly. So let's speaking of fishing and doing well and being really pushing forward with it, the Reel 'Em In Foundation, you've started that. Fill us in what that's all about.
Yeah, so originally we started it, I guess it was back in 2015, and it basically, there was kind of two parts to it. We did an auction night where we brought in celebrities, athletes, and paired them with professional fishermen, and we would auction those guys off. Whoever won that auction got to go fish with them in a little special VIP boat tournament. So we would do that, and that's kind of how we raised our money. We would also do an open tournament on a separate day, and that was, you know, a team tournament that was like a $250 entry fee, and anybody could enter up. And it was just a fun time. And all of our proceeds went towards Canines for Cops that puts canines in police departments that either cannot afford them or has lost one in the line of duty. So really great cause. We had a lot of fun with it. We haven't done it the last few years just with COVID over the last couple of years, and then just honestly life catching up to me and my wife. We haven't been able to do it. We hope to bring it back to Minnesota soon. We've had discussions about it. Probably won't be next year, but we're hoping to do it maybe in 2023. So that is on my mind. That is hopefully going to be on my schedule soon, and I'm hoping that we can bring it back to Minnesota where it deserves to be for sure.
That would be awesome. And, of course, that foundation, you've done a lot with it, and it's always fun to have the ability, and that's what you're about, is to be able to give back. So that's an outstanding way to do it. So it's a pretty cool deal. Anything else before we send you on your way out to sort your tackle that you want to comment on as far as football, Vikings, what's going on there? Anything that you want to comment on?
Man, honestly, you know, the Vikings, it reminds me a lot of a couple of the years that I played. You know, it was like we just couldn't find a way to get over the hump, and a lot of it came down to the last 2 minutes of the ball games and things like that. But, I mean, when you look at it, every single ball game they've had, they've either had a chance to win or lose at the end of the game. And in a lot of ways, it came down to the last play every single game. And so you're looking at it. I mean, this team could easily be, you know, 7-0. They could easily be 0-7. I mean, really and truly, it's just about the flip of the ball, the flip of the coin, whatever you want to call it. You know, they've had some bad luck. They've had some good luck. I mean, this team is not like as bad as their record shows. But there's got to be. You know, you got to find a way to get the job done. And like I said, there was a few years that we were in that scenario where it was like you're in quicksand. You can't quite get out of it.
Can't make it
and,
happen.
And hopefully they find a way out. And kind of going back to the fishing deal, I wanted to comment on something. You know what? One thing that I think us fishermen, and I've learned this over the last year, we get caught up in going out and trying to catch, you know, bass fishing-wise, going and catching a 20-pound bag every time we go out. Not realizing that, like, 90% of the time, if you can just catch, like, you know, 12 or 15 pounds a day, you'll cash a check.
Exactly right.
And so that's something that I have definitely learned is don't go look for the mega bags. You got to go look for, you know, solid fish that you can bring 5 to the scales, because if you can't bring 5 to the scales, you can't win and you can't cash a check. So that's what I think something that we as fishermen got to be more in tune with.
You got to get what the lake will give you, and that's really the big key. And I agree, salmon and walleye fishing, 12 to 15 pounds a day will get her done. Speaking of getting her done, Brian, I can't thank you enough for coming on air with us. We'll touch base again soon. I hope the best of luck to you as the season goes on, and we will look forward to watching and following you as the season goes on. So hang in there, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, guys, hang tight. We got more Valley Outdoors coming right after this. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. That was super fun, guys.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Absolutely. What a nice guy.
It's interesting to see guys that have been in the professional sports world and then taking up, you know, throwing their ring in, hat in the ring to get involved with tournament fishing. And, you know, we come from different sides of that world. Very competitive, and I'm not when it comes to the outdoors. I just enjoy being out there.
Yeah.
But in this case, I mean, he's got a lot of competitive spirit in him.
Oh, yet. It's awesome. And I know that feeling. I mean, when you go out and you're thinking you're going to bring the world down because you've got everything ready to go, but that's what makes you better and better and better. And that's the difficult part.
You keep working at it now. Like you said, he learns every tournament he goes to.
You want to win? Everybody, I mean, you don't go in it to lose.
Right.
And, you know, everything starts playing out.
I got to believe when you go to a tournament and you don't come back with the trophy, you have learned something during
every
that
time.
Tournament time.
Oh, there's no way around
you've
it.
Picked up a new technique or learned about the habits of fish or whatever.
That kind of feeds us into, and Don was thinking we weren't going to talk about this, but we're going to, because Don, you went wade fishing.
No, I didn't. I actually floated.
Oh, I'm sorry, float fishing.
Yeah, we went
You weren't
fishing.
In the water, you were near the water, but you were in a float boat.
Well, I had to walk in a little water just to get in the boat.
Yeah. So you were in a float boat, drift fishing.
Yeah, well, it's something that's actually relatively new in Wisconsin. You know,
they do it out west all the time.
Yes, but the salmon run in from Lake Michigan and lay their eggs, the king salmon, and then what follows is the brown trout and the rainbow trout because they're dining on their eggs.
Uh-huh.
And so there's only actually in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, there's only one outfitter or guide that will
fishing.
Do that.
Yeah.
And so we enjoy doing that. My buddy and I went out just for one day.
Nice.
And
caught some fish.
We caught a few fish. I caught a nice rainbow. Mark caught a nice brown trout, about a 12-pounder.
Nice.
And, I mean, there were a few other fish caught. I caught a clam, too.
Go figure. No catfish?
I caught no catfish.
Didn't was
see
there a
catfish.
Pearl?
I did have a smallie on, and I also had king salmon that I accidentally hooked.
Oh, snagged it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
You know what? It actually was interesting how they fish that. They do it with floats.
Yeah.
And they let her drift. So.
Drift her down.
Yep.
Awesome show today, guys. Thanks, Don, Ava, myself, Eric. This is the Valley Outdoors. You are joining us. Join us next week. Who knows who's going to be on, but it's going to be great. Have a great weekend. Bye.